Children are listening. Children of all ages are listening and paying attention. What you are saying, what you are putting into the environment of our human race is like ripples upon the pond, infecting the rest of the world. The thoughts that you are having, you're allowing into your mind to come out of your mouth and into your heart that then you espouse when you think nobody is paying attention, it's making a difference. I remember today as I was preparing for this talk, when wondering, you know, I'm not too sure I want to give this talk today. And then the Spirit said, no, it is the talk that needs to be given. I remember Mrs. Trumbull, my Sunday school teacher, growing up in the Methodist Church, and she told me all these wonderful, beautiful Bible stories. And she indoctrinated me with some ideas and theories and beliefs and said basically I was supposed to believe them. And that I was supposed to regurgitate them. I was supposed to just put them back and propel it forward. At the very same time, as a young music student, I was also introduced to the George Gershwin musical Porgy and Bess. And the song, "It Ain't Necessarily So, the things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so." Thus began a journey for me, a journey of questioning, a journey of wrestling with everything this beautiful Mrs. Trumbull had told me I was supposed to regurgitate. And then, "It ain't necessarily so." And I began to develop the importance of the questioning in my spiritual path, on my evolution. You know, in Unity, we say that we come here to get our questions answered. That's a part of what we do, and it's a beautiful place. Seekers, spiritual seekers coming in saying, "I want to get my questions answered." But if we stop there, if we stop on that plateau, we've missed half of the equation of our evolution spiritually and humanly. Because we also come here to Unity North to get our answers questioned. It ain't necessarily so what I have believed that got me to here. And maybe it was a value, so I don't toss it away or throw it away, but it got me to where I am. But now, maybe there's a greater truth that wants to emerge. Charles Fillmore said to his students, the founder, co-founder of Unity, that "I reserve the right to change my mind at any given moment because my understanding of the universe, of God, is forever expanding." Are gospels being written today? An emphatic yes. Truth is being espoused today if we are listening and paying attention. But Charles Fillmore also said that in our spiritual path, there must be one of the 12 faculties, 12 powers of humanity that are necessary for the Christ to emerge, for the Christ to be born again in each and every one of us. And one of those faculties is the faculty of wisdom. Wisdom does not allow regurgitation of an old paradigm or an old idea. At Unity North, we're here to get our answers questioned. And that is a wise thing to do because there's always more God to discover. There's always more good to discover. There's more life to discover. And in some places, that is strongly discouraged. Have you been there? Shut off your brain when you come in and just listen to one person's wisdom. If you're relying on my wisdom from this platform, we're all in big trouble. It's a limited space. It's an ever-evolving universe where there's always more life and light and love to discover. In essence, that means there's more God to uncover, to realize, to express, and to experience, and more truth. And we don't get there ever through blind acceptance. What if everything that we've been taught about Scripture, about history, and even faith itself is only part of the story? Who is the radio personality that said, "Page two"? Who is that? Paul Harvey, page two. So many of us are living our life on page one, never getting to page two or page 200. Are gospels being written? Yes, they are. If there's such a thing as unconscious, let me ask you, is there such a thing as unconscious bias? Bias confirmation? We're living in a truth and a reality, and we're seeking out people to validate what I believe. So if it's a half-truth, I'm looking for people to validate my half-truth. I'm going to gather with people who will validate that I'm right and that somebody else is wrong. It exists in the human psyche and the human consciousness. Porgy and Bess, This beautiful, amazing musical explores the tension between inherited belief and lived reality. Anybody here inherit something from your grandparents and your parents that you know to this day is not true? A belief system that they told you was true, and you later, in exploring life, found, wait a minute, that was only a partial truth. There's more to discover. Porgy and Bess explores the tension between the stories people are told and the truths that they must discover for themselves. It asks us for a mystical experience, the first-hand expression of Scripture. An experience, the first-hand experience of God, not second-hand religion, not somebody else's version of what God is and what life is. The song, It Ain't Necessarily So, is not offered in that musical as skepticism, as challenge for simply challenge's sake. You know those people? I'm going to challenge just because it feels good and I can. And I can challenge. That song is invoking a spiritual freedom that says questioning alone is not enough. Wisdom must guide it. Questioning and challenging must come with wisdom and love. The opera ultimately suggests that identity, faith, destiny are not fixed by what society, religion, and history has declared. I'm starting to meddle now. We're going to go a little farther. They are forged through direct experience and inner knowing. This is the mindset of a mystic. This is the mindset that we're all calling for in unity. The direct experience. Don't take my word for it. It's exactly what Jesus did. Those of you who have studied the Bible and Jesus, what is considered his greatest teaching? The Sermon on the Mount. Everybody was listening and everybody was paying attention. Six times in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says something to this effect. You have heard it said, but I say. You have heard it said, let's read it together. You have heard that it was said to those of old, but I say to you. And so many of us are afraid of a but. But I'm saying, but I say to you, the Christ is calling for a greater reality. To stop at the half-truths. To stop at the half-history. And that's not rebellion. Although the man was rebellious. It's revelation. It's revelation. It's evolution. It's the Spirit continually moving through and as us. He models for us. Jesus, the master teacher, models for us that faith is not blind repetition, but courageous reinterpretation with new information. New thought. New experience. New possibility. New whatever it is. He's not tearing it down. He said, I have not come to abolish the law. I have come to fulfill it. I'm adding to it. You only had half the story. He wasn't rejecting the Hebrew Bible. He was deepening it. He questioned inherited teachings, not to tear them down. That's not what we do in unity. But to reveal the heart and the expansive power of those very scriptures that have been limited by a finite reality between our ears. Part of our job for the evolution of collective consciousness. You see, you're not just here to grow yourself. You're here to save the world. Your consciousness, as one with all people everywhere, we're here to save the planet. Part of our job in the evolution of this collective consciousness is to develop a mindset that accepts challenge, ours and others of our truth, as opportunities to grow. And not as attack. Those who are living in fear will have a challenge come to you, and it will be immediately, let's go at it. Let's get to a fight. And the fight doesn't always look like this. It looks like my God can beat up your God. My religion can beat up your religion. My history can beat up your history. And then nothing changes. Nothing changes. I don't know about you, but I want to live in change to experience that greater, that more beautiful essence of God. That means that my delivery of challenge must be wrapped not only in wisdom but in unconditional love. Is that possible? Let me ask you, as spiritual students, is it possible that challenge, standing up for a new reality, can happen coupled with love and wisdom? Or is it all attack? How's that working for us? It's not working so well in the government. It's not so working so well in the religious communities, how about we be the change that we want to see on the planet and try it on for size? Buddha did exactly this. And let's go from the elder brother Jesus to the elder brother Gautama Buddha. He asked his students never to blindly accept what he was saying. And that's what I ask you. Try it on for size is what he said. I'm going to give you a truth. But don't just take my word for it. Just because it's written down in the scripture, don't take. It's not necessarily so. Put on the clothes. Put on the new wineskins. Put on the new shoes. Walk around in a while and make sure that it's your truth. Have a mystical experience of what I'm espousing or what Jesus or Buddha espoused. He challenged them to go beyond the scripture because there's more depth, there's more good. Just because a majority believes something doesn't make it true. Have you noticed that? Just because a majority of people believe something, it does not make it true. In fact, it was Margaret Mead, I believe, who said, make no mistake about it, that a small group of people can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever had. It's usually the minority that changes the world, and we need to remember that and pay attention. So I don't really care if I'm in the majority or the minority. I want to be the change of the paradigm that I see going on the planet. I want to have the direct experience of God and be wise enough and loving enough and challenging enough to change the direction of humanity. Buddha essentially was saying spirituality is experiential, not theoretical. Spirituality, let's say it together, spirituality is experiential, not theoretical. It ain't necessarily so. Live it. Put the shoes on. Now, I want to take Jesus and Buddha and overlay it on this concept of black history, American history, since this is the last Sunday in Black History Month. Many of us, most of us, were educated through a lens that centered on only one version of our history, while minimizing many, many others. For generations, our textbooks are sanitized versions of slavery. Feel good about it. Just keep it off to the corner. Don't dig too far into it because it's uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but I find that my greatest growth has come with being uncomfortable. With the challenge that came to me that I didn't take as an attack, but I took as an opportunity to grow. Textbooks elevated certain founders and erased the contributions of many others, black inventors, black thinkers, black mystics, and revolutionaries. History, like scripture, has editors. It ain't necessarily so. And when history is filtered through a white dominant lens, it can present partial truth and put it out there as total truth. We did a class here called Be the Bridge. That was this last year. And then about 5 years before that, 4 years before that, we had a series here at Unity North. We'd first gotten the screens. And it was about 4 to 6 weeks of looking at the civil rights movement firsthand. No punches pulled, both in the book study and in the video. And I had to sit there and I had to be humbled because I had no concept, no idea. Nobody had taught me or told me the stories that I was seeing on the video that I was reading in a book. I felt ignorant. Then I felt scammed. And then I felt less than, and I was ashamed, and I was embarrassed. That was not the intent of the study or the movie. It was an education. It was to educate my mind and my heart in such a way that a new paradigm was coming, that I could be a part of and not a spectator, that I could be a part of the transformation. When history is filtered through a white dominant lens, it's very dangerous. Black History Month is not about replacing one myth for another myth. It's about expanding the narrative and making room for a greater truth. Yes? For many generations, many of us were taught a version of black history that was partial at best and distorted and manipulative at worst. We were taught that enslaved people were passive, that freedom was just simply handed down to them rather than fought for, that progress came gently instead of through blood and resistance, brilliance and relentless courage. We shall not forget from this platform, February, Black History Month, but every month here forth. We learned about acceptable heroes, but not the thousands. I was taught in history classes not about the thousands upon thousands of organizers, of thinkers, of artists, of inventors, of mystics, of mothers, and freedom fighters whose names were never printed in my textbook. So I sat 40, 50 years later watching a movie going, how did I not know this? And when a people's story is shrunk, their power is hidden. But let's make no mistake about it today. Hidden does not mean absent. It never has, and it never will. Hidden does not mean absent. Say that with me. Hidden does not mean absent. The truth is that Black history has always been a story of creativity. Creativity in the midst of captivity. Faith, deep faith in the face of terror. Intellect under deep oppression and joy that refused to die. It's a history of coded spirituals, underground networks, economic genius, artistic revolution, and sacred resilience. We are more when we study Black history, not less. America is more when we study Black history, not less. I am more when I educate myself. That's nobody else's responsibility. It is mine. I am more. When we challenge the dominant narrative, we're not attacking America. That's one reaction you can have. My embarrassment was not about attacking America or my history teachers or my Sunday school teachers. It's loving America enough to tell the truth. It's loving what we stand for as a nation enough to tell the truth. It's the divine ideas that the scouts espoused from this very platform just a few moments ago, that Jesus espoused. You've heard it said, but I tell you this. It's what Buddha asked us to do, is to do our own investigation. Jesus told us that the truth will set you free. At Unity, we've learned, yes, the truth will set you free, but first it's really going to tick you off. The truth will set you free, but first it's going to be really, really uncomfortable. Growth comes with being uncomfortable. Birth comes with being uncomfortable. When we discover that what we were taught was incomplete, there's two ways that we can react, maybe three. And you've probably seen them all. Defensiveness. I don't want to hear that. That's back then. I wasn't involved. Wow, education stops. Spiritual evolution stops. Dialogue stops. Or we can look at that as awakening, as possibility, as an opportunity. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. So what do we do with all this? It ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible or a history book. What do we do with all of it? You know, that's the important thing, is that what we do here goes out those doors and we're different. What do we do with it? If history isn't necessarily complete, if spiritual authority isn't necessarily infallible, where does it leave us? It leaves us responsible. It leaves us responsible. Responsible to study more deeply, to listen more broadly, to question more lovingly with more wisdom, to pray more honestly and to examine more humbly, to own our own history, to own our own spiritual evolution. Unity does not ask us to be passive believers. That's why I'm in this church and not another. I don't need regurgitation. I need your truth. I need your experience. I need your voice as I need my voice together. It calls for conscious co-creation. You see, the real question is not, is it necessarily so? The real question is, what is Spirit revealing through us now? That's the question we need to be asking. The same divine mind that inspired prophets, that awakened the Buddha, that moved through Jesus and lived in the courage of every black leader, written about or erased. That same spirit is alive in each and every one of us. That means we're not called to defend inherited truth. We are called to embody living, evolving truth.